Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
1,426. Welcome. If you're ready to sit down and get down with the brothers and sisters for a couple of hours, courtesy of your loving mad scientist here at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw.
Kind of combination of Leon Thomas and Scooby-Doo.
Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin Southern Brother Man Network and the Black Athlete Sports Network, of course. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Charles Jones in Philly. Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit. Mike Roberson in Oakland, California. Pat Freeman, the mighty Obot, doing his thing for Western New York and about Rochester vicinity. Still rolling with his book, The Art of the Interview. Doing well. It is a very good read. Definitely worth the time. And, of course, the rest of the brothers as they get here. But riding shotgun with me, as always, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
Blow up the Coliseum. Blow up the Coliseum. Blow it up. Blow it up. Blow it up now.
Blow up the Coliseum.
You're referring to Oakland's Coliseum, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Michael, they had a meeting. They had a meeting on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And accomplished absolutely nothing.
Really? So it turned into a clusterfuck, huh?
A circus beyond a circus.
Uh-huh. Well,
before we do that,
For almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sports' most innovative and unique beings, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
Yes, we are.
Michael?
You were saying. Mm-hmm.
Our colleague, Anthony McLean, sent me a video of the history of the Coliseum.
Okay.
I had forgot about the San Jose move back in 2007.
Oh, yeah, they did mention that. Fishing for any team, or did they have eyes on the A's or the Giants specifically?
San Jose was giant territory. the meantime, mm-hmm. the real guys to the act. I forgot about that. Sacramento
won the 82. Holy shit.
So the compromise, the Giants said, okay, we'll give you Sacramento, but we'll take you San Jose.
Well, that's interesting. We got Tony McClain in the mix with as well. Gentlemen, y'all want to chime in on this?
What's up, team? The Mac is back. Gentlemen. Peace and blessings.
Good morning.
Good morning. Damn, did I oversleep? Shit.
I'm on Tokyo time. Don't judge.
it's Sunday morning. Damn, we done missed the day.
Actually,
it's Sunday morning.
Actually, it's Thursday night, but, you know, I'm still trying to make the difference.
Hey, T, and I'm waving at the Invisible People, 1,000 seats as fans. I'm waving at them.
You know what the crazy thing is? They're waving back.
Oh, shit. That's the COVID-19 spirit. Damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, wait a minute. If I understand all of this, G, you're telling me that the AIDS situation got further vexed and exacerbated by San Jose wanting to pimp out one of these teams and shut Oakland out of the process. Is that correct?
Yeah, you got it. You hit it the head.
Okay.
And apparently, Mike, the Giants have a small role in this, too.
A big role. A big role.
No.
Well, the thing is, when they tried to move to, when they were talking
how
about...
How dare them.
Yeah, I know. Dion said, yeah, it's probably a good move. But then the Giants said, no, that's not.
Hey, and I heard Notorious Jackson have dreamt it too.
Yeah. So again,
as an old man beating my ass with that chair.
Put it this way: more and more, and I sent you guys a video. I think a little earlier ago. Let's put it this way: more and more, it's looking like we are going to have.
Just
put it this way. The Oakland A's are
going to
go the way of the Oakland Raiders, it looks like.
Yep.
Say what? Hold up. Back up. So where are they going to jump ship to?
Vegas.
What about down there in Texas? They got a field down in Texas they're trying to win for the team.
They're not going to move to Texas. Then they'll have to pay both Houston and their Texas Rangers.
Oh, territorial seeding, right.
Yeah,
territorial seeding, right. That's what's with the Washington Nationals and the Baltimore Orioles. They're going to that right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's right now, I guess it's just a matter of the logistics and everything else in regards to where they're going to go. But, yeah, more than likely, they're done with Oakland.
I got a question, gentlemen. Isn't it interesting that, and unfortunately, the Washington Nationals had, quote, a shooting near the game last week. This past week, in that downtown area, not the black area, they had a couple of shots again.
When did they change their name to the Warlocks?
Thank you. I wish they would. Hey, Gary, congratulations. The Cleveland Indians are changing their names to, what is it?
The Guardians.
Gary, I want to officially congratulate you on your work you've done over the years. Now, some people be like, oh, are you serious? Gary, been like Pippi the Pew, been writing articles about the Indians and the Braves and the Washington football team. So I just want to officially congratulate you, Gary, on your good work of keeping on the job.
And the
Name and change the name. Man.
The Braves are going to be the easiest to change.
Yeah, but I don't see the teams changing.
Going to be the Bulls and Jags on it.
Yeah, but again,
because
I don't see the teams changing.
The original AFL teams, they
yeah.
only got that name.
Yeah, that's what I said. Both teams ain't going to change that name.
Speaking for Bulls around the world, I say, for the Washington football team to change its name to the Guardians, it still
no,
fits
that was
the
Cleveland.
Script.
Cleveland Indians
did that.
Cleveland
Indians.
Oh, really? Okay. So wait a minute. Cleveland's the Guardians?
Put the sandwich down, Mike. Put the sandwich down. You got to load the sandwich.
Whole,
put the sandwich down.
They came out with a whole video and everything with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And it was actually, sort of played well the way that they, let's put it this way. It looks like that they definitely did some research and they did, it looked like they did some work to do this. It doesn't look like this was
so Cleveland's baseball. So wait a minute. So Cleveland's baseball team is going to be called the Guardians?
The Guardians begin to play this year.
Yeah.
This is the last game.
Okay.
You
know what that means, T? The Washington football team is going to be known as the Potomacs.
If nothing else, they probably could take a lesson from what the former Indians have done, because it looks like they put into account the city's history and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Now again, it could be them,
We got pedophile racists and homophobics in Washington. Well, I mean, what history we got in Washington is going to be a football team.
What's going to happen in Washington? They're going to be called the
No, not the government.
They're going to call them the Washington Criminals?
No.
They're going to call them the Washington Republicans.
Yeah,
they call
them
the Washington Traitors. How about the Traitors and Treason? I'm praying for Washington.
Yeah.
Well, going by the action.
So they'll be the Washington Nationals Football Club.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's nothing new, because remember we had the New York Football Giants and the New York Baseball Giants.
It wouldn't surprise me.
What is interesting though, guys, since the announcement, there's been all sorts of stuff on Facebook and other parts of media. Where they're selling, like I actually saw a shirt that's being sold on Facebook saying now and forever, and it has like the Indians logo, and it gets like the history and all the other stuff. So you know, the thing is, whenever and this is no surprise, whenever teams do make moves like this, it's done for marketing purposes. Because see, there's going to be people hang on to the old logo, and then there's going to be people who embrace it. Because basically, the colors aren't changing, so it's just a matter of name and whatever logo they're going to go. Matter of fact, I saw the design and everything. I don't know if they're going to like change the hats from the block C to the block G.
Roman type Z.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but like I said, I'm not sure if they're gonna keep the C as the hat symbol. They may go with that.
Yeah, it's gonna be like a Roman Z.
A bouncy C, as a skit from SCTV was a few years back. Everybody there?
Yeah, I'm just taking all this in. You know what? Well, first, I echo Reggie's sentiments regarding our brother G. He has always been on it. He has been consistent, and long after folks dropped or even didn't come to the meat of the story, guy was all over it. So, yes, props to our brother. But if Washington has decided, the football team now has decided, they're going to decide on their name next season.
Oh, hell.
Are they taking a flying sample as they go along? Like, is there some sort of, you know, name the team type thing going on? Have they decided?
Yeah, yeah,
are they doing?
Yeah.
Are they doing the due diligence that Cleveland did?
I haven't seen it, but I mean, who knows what's going on behind
Hey, look, this is the same city name, the best team Wizards. That should tell you all you need to know. God help the name of this up and coming team. That's all I got to say. God help.
I'm still
it.
Trying to swallow this whole Bullets thing. There was nothing wrong with naming the team the fucking Bullets. To try to say
that
the team's name would incite violence because their last name was Bullets. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, it was the Baltimore Bullets for years. You know, and then all of a sudden now because Washington has murders, that all of a sudden it's because the basketball team is named the Bullets? Somebody's on crack in the fucking D.C. area. And I don't mean in Anacostia. I mean in the capital.
It's political correctness on acid, basically,
with there.
Because like I said, facetiously, if that's the case, then the Nationals should be named the Warlocks within the next couple of days. You know, but see, but yeah, again, it's a bit much. It is a bit much. Let's put it this way. I give Cleveland, or at least their staff, credit because it looks like they truly did, you know, go back into their history and all the other stuff. And I would think that you know, Washington is looking at what and will whatever. But you know, I would also think that the two franchises that Gary mentioned before, the Braves and the Chiefs, they would, you know, look into it. But they, you know, now to the Braves' credit, you know, they got rid of Chief Nakasingo years ago. Their official logo years ago used to be similar to the Indians, and they had the tomahawk and everything. But they've gotten rid of that now. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Their logo is script Braves.
Because
their uniform, you know, they've gone over subtle changes with their uniform. Their actual jerseys now are more traditional from when they were in Milwaukee.
Right down
to the script and everything else.
The Milwaukee Braves uniform had the old warrior
But
just out of curiosity, where were they overall? Do you happen to have
They were in the middle of the pack. Like 14,
middle of the pack?
13, 14, wow, right
middle of the pack? Oh, my God. And Jekyll sitting on the back, sitting on the back, smoking a joint. Like Tony's talking about.
You can't tell me anything different with that Cardinal logo. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, you ain't shit. Exactly. No joke. But you know what? I'm looking at the fact that the Chief Wahoo logo had done so much damage for so many years, and there are so many stupid people who still wish to indulge with it and wear it. Because they can say what they want about the Block C and all that shit. If it was an issue of the Block C, you wouldn't be having this conversation.
Hey, Mike, I know you're hot on this one, but I'm looking at the 3-on-3, and Lisa Leslie is one of the coaches. I'm just saying, what do you guys think about these gimmick leagues where they got, you know, former athletes, even men or female, I guess, trying to get some coaching training.
You're talking about Ice Cube's Big Three?
Yeah.
It's been, you know, the Big Three has actually been very, very popular with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's been very popular for the last couple of summers.
I was shocked in Lisa Leslie on, as a head coach. And
It's been dope for her to get a regular job.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure she was I wouldn't be surprised if down the road she gets like a WNBA job or either a college job or what have you.
Exactly.
And they've got this guys that are coaching in there that are former, and I think Michael Cooper was coaching there for a hot minute.
Michael Cooper was definitely coaching there. I think he won a title too.
But my thing is, sometimes you gotta have these gimmick leagues to give people opportunity, because obviously we see going the regular route is not working. They should have women coaching men's basketball a long time ago. You got Joey San Antonio that should have been a coach by now. You know, she's coached summer leagues. I don't know what's going on.
Truth be told, in regards to the Big Three has been very, the Big Three has been very popular in the cities. Because, see, the one thing that they haven't done is, I believe it's 16, and they've kept it like six, eight. So they're not looking to be in every city. And
look,
see,
there's no major
they play
expansion.
In
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and see, they play in NBA cities, and I think there's been a very few, like, they were set to come to Hartford last year before the pandemic came. So
yeah.
They're going in NBA cities, but they're also, like, they're sort of feeling out some of the non-NBA cities. But strictly on whatever, they haven't tried to oversell themselves. The one thing they did do, they do have a contract with CBS Sports, so all their games are on either CBS Sports or CBS Sports Network. They've
to their credit,
I think they've played it well. They haven't tried to overhype it. They recognize
they know their niche.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of former NBA players are playing. That helps out too.
Yeah.
Some of the
bunkers
are fine.
I'll be honest. When the concept first came up and I saw who the players were, my first thinking was, boy, I hope they get the ambulances and all the other stuff. That hasn't been a problem at all.
No, those guys ain't gonna embarrass themselves. They're professionals. They're not gonna get out there and embarrass themselves like that.
Look, the biggest embarrassment is when Nate Robinson, he decided he wanted to become a boxer, and it wouldn't have been so bad, but Nate just got up off the thing about an hour ago. Nate got knocked out.
Back at baseball, I want to state that Cleveland and their merchandise issues had never really become a prominent thing, and that's the first thing they should have attacked. So if they were in the middle of the road, Gary, when they were at the point that they are now, then clearly there were a lot of people who were willing to go along with this shit and continue to fight the issue of Key Wahoo.
Michael, come on, Michael. You know how America runs the race now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and see, Mike, I'm willing to bet you that now that it has become official, I'm willing to bet you that their remaining sales under the old logo will grow because some people are going to buy. Now, to be fair, there's going to be some folks who legitimately want to buy it for nostalgic reasons, but there's also going to be a faction of folks that's just going to buy it out of spite.
That's exactly right.
I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, because the area around the stadium, Progressive Field, will be allowed to sell the Cleveland Indians' old logo and stuff
for the next four years.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the agreement in regards. See, let's be honest. I've always felt, out of all the sports that do their nostalgia, baseball probably does it the best, good, bad, or indifferent. And they're going to use that to make it so that because you see throwback stuff in all the sports now. But I think it's safe to say, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, baseball has always had that faction of selling their old memorabilia, whether it's through uniforms, through hats, whether it's through yearbooks, programs, or what have you.
They do it better than anybody else, Tony, because they've always lived on the face of what we were. You know, we were America's pastime. You know,
exactly.
And they got a lot of people still buying that shit.
So, of course, they don't give a fuck
about all the other stuff. You know, they're collectors. Baseball shit has more value in terms of intrinsic value than any other sport. You know, you can get rookie cards of some players that running the millions, Honus Wagner, or anything like that. You don't see that in football or basketball or hockey. You know, so they're running that knowing that there are collectors out there who may have just a selfish motive of just trying to make as much money as they can. And they'll roll with that. And that's why they're giving them another year.
Actually, give them four. They're trying to, I mean, basically, it gives them an opportunity to slowly sort of, you know, kill the dying phase of the old logo and give the new logo an opportunity to become more. Because look, when next year's games come, we should all, you know, similar to the swear jar, we should listen to Cleveland games and just basically see how many times they're going to call them the Indians. It's going to happen.
Thank
look,
you.
It's a problem. Yeah,
You had the Cleveland Browns announcer calling the Redskins, until somebody made a phone call.
Sure. Look. How many of us still mess up and say the Baltimore Colts? Some of us still do. But again, within that early year, those first 2 years or so, it's going to get the Personally, I would sort of cheat and be like, just be reminded that they're the Cleveland G's, and then go from there. That'll be and then you work your way up to Guardians and go from there. But it's going to be a transition. It's just like with the Bullets. Now, see, I have no problem saying I still call them the Bullets out of spite. I just, the whole premise of the whole Wizards thing to me is ridiculous. And
but see, how they ever get a name the Wizards? How they ever?
Look. What's the appeal of, Gary? That's like asking, what's the appeal of Pia Zadora? And actually you say, who? That's my point. If you can understand how whatever gets sold or how things are marketed or what have you, see, I go back and forth with the marketing because, my biggest, I don't have many pet peeves, but one of the biggest pet peeves for me with a lot of professional sports is nobody wears white home jerseys anymore. I mean, everybody's got their third jersey, their softball jersey, and what have you. And there's a buddy of mine that says, look, it's all marketing. But, and I'll use baseball as an example. If they're trying to market to kids that don't watch the game, they're doing a terrible job. I mean, I don't want to go into another long rant about the All-Star pajamas from 2 weeks ago. Again, I'd settle for home whites, gray, road grays. That's all. And the same thing for the NBA. Same thing for the NBA. Home team wears white. The road team wears whatever your off color is. If it winds up being gray, fine. If it's chartreuse, if it's blue, if it's if it's lavender pink or what have you, it's like whatever. I put this way, the only jersey that I really fear and I need to be that I want to be warned that it's going to be on TV again is when Seattle wears those highlighter jerseys for Thursday night game. I want to be warned 2 weeks in advance that they're going to wear them because. That burns out people's retinas across the country, man.
Yeah. Well, the neon jerseys are unique, but it's the NHL you all have to blame for this because it was
the NHL who started
with the alternate third jersey. You know, so, yes, they had the home whites, as you said, and the away grays or what have you, and then the third jersey came into the mix. Why? Because... You could buy all three jerseys. Think about that: home, away, and the alternate jersey. And you spent over $300.
And Mike, it's so silly because the Winnipeg Jets. One of their traditions over the years during the playoffs is to have a whiteout. Well, That's all well and good, but when the home team's wearing blue, it sort of loses, it gets lost in the sauce, you know?
Duh. Yeah, exactly. So we have these third jerseys infecting Major League Baseball, football, and because of the NHL, they started this. Now, they may have done this as a naked cash grab, but only the NFL, thanks to their fucking Thursday night football, made this an ugly proposition because every jersey was like neon everything. I remember a game with the Rams, and was it the Rams-Chiefs game? I mean, they had these
yellow
jerseys.
Ironically,
the Seattle neon jersey, it actually works for them only because of their original colors, which were green, aqua blue, or some other shit there in gray. I don't mind them as much.
Hey, Mike, you're describing the Krakens, Mike.
Yeah, I know. So all of this stuff is just done to make money, and they know it. But some of these jerseys are beyond Shabba Ranks and Esther Ugly, as Tony likes to say.
But guys, real quick. Can you somebody explain to me?
Buffalo Bills were playing the
Okay.
And the Bills wore that dark, dark blue that night. The Cardinals were all red. The Leeds all red, all blue. It was fine on color TV. But if you're colorblind, you can't tell the difference.
With some of them NBA games, I literally had to watch the floor. It's like, oh, so-and-so's the home team. Okay. Because both of them would be wearing colored jerseys. And it's like, the marketing, but come on already, you know?
Hey, guys, speaking of marketing, can somebody explain to me again? I know I'm changing subject. In the NFL, the hockey draft, who's this kid that was like 20-something years old that didn't want to be drafted and drafted him anyway?
Ryan Milieu, I believe that he's a Swedish member. The story was he was a high NHL prospect. Matter of fact, if you want to read the story, you can go to the ASN's Facebook page. He was going to be a high draft pick for the NHL's entry draft. Now, apparently he had sex with this woman, his teammate, consensual, but, you know, being the media maven and complete idiot that he is, he taped it and put it on social media.
He put it this way, there was a lot of
hand wringing and, you know, constant, you know, the kind of fake bullshit that we see, whatever, you know, outrage.
Yeah.
So 2 days before the draft, he basically said, I'm taking myself out the draft, I'm asking people not to draft me, so I can quote unquote mature, basically I got caught, I got fucked, I just don't want to, so you all don't have to draft me. So
basically PR people got together and wrote the statement.
Yeah. So basically come pick number 31 in the draft, the Montreal Canadiens pick him as their number one pick.
Yep.
Of course.
That's what got him the problem in the first place. But the thing is, now what's even worse is Montreal literally tried to be like, well, we've talked with him about this. And he feels remorse. You know, he feels remorseful. He's this. He's all that. Basically, basically, without a French accent, they were saying, "Fuck you, we're drafting him anyway."
Yeah, but you know what? Hockey, at least in this case, they're full of shit. Because there was another player. They drafted him. The Phoenix Coyotes drafted him in the fourth round because they had, of trades. That was their first pick. And they picked this kid who thought he had gotten over. But his parents and other information came out about how he was torturing this black kid who was a little slow.
And it started to snowball.
And all of a sudden, the very conservative NHL all of a sudden had to backtrack because the news was been out. And this has been like this ever since Akeem Olajuwon talked about how the coach that he was playing under was full of shit and tried to do a race job on him and others. And now you can't hide that shit anymore because Phoenix let go their obligation to the guy. And now he's considering having to play over in Europe or somewhere because he ain't playing in the NHL. And that's because he got busted. And this is something that should be done even more often. If the scrutiny is about whether or not you had sex with somebody or you smoked pot or whatever, that's a whole nother story. Bullying somebody like this, racial shit towards some kid that maybe you put in a bag because you held back his potential or anything of that ilk, that's got to be on the microscope. And now the NHL has to consider that as well. Now, Gary and I talked about this years ago about how the NHL was going to have some serious growing pains. And this definitely is filed under pain.
Yeah, because they can see they're still as popular as the NHL is and everything. And you know, they had a big old thing the other night with the Kraken. You have to say it just like
right.
that, Danny. So, but the NHL is literally one of those, you know, four steps forward, 68 steps backwards, and they basically did. And it was funny because if you watch the segment when the kid gets drafted, you can literally see, I guess, ESPN and TSN did a combined cast on the entry draft, and you could tell that this caught them. You see, thank God for unscriptedness because, you know, these guys were literally caught off guard. It was four folks. One of them being our buddy Kevin Weeks, who's I guess is going to be working for both TSN and ESPN this upcoming season.
Yeah.
But they were taking off. Mm-hmm. To their credit, they said all the right things in regards to the information
mm-hmm.
about the league and all this other stuff. And I thought they did it justice because you can literally see them and the whole broadcast wincing as it was going on because just to further the concept, doing last night for the entry draft. Last night was the first round of entry draft in the NHL, and every team
mm-hmm.
usually it's done in one venue and all the teams are there, but because of say it with me, COVID. All the individual teams were doing stuff either at their arenas or at their offices.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a festive sort of atmosphere in a sense. And Montreal was, you know, was playing it up like they were basically playing it up like they had drafted somebody that had split the atom instead of somebody that did something else. And when they threw it back to the studio, there was a pregnant pause that made it sound like the King family was being born on national TV. you know, no one saw this coming. And they literally had to react. They literally had to sort of react to it. And to their credit, they didn't, you know, they didn't walk away from it. They hit it, you know, and I give them credit for what they did. Because, see, usually – Now, anything that the mouse is usually associated with, put this way, if that had been just an ESPN production, it would have played out differently.
But it would have buried it.
But the fact that it was Zeb and TSN, and TSN, yeah. TSN runs circles around ESPN.
TSN saved their butt.
Editorially, they handled it very well. They didn't shy away from it. And if there's anything, quote unquote, good that came out of it, is that they didn't run away from it. But a lot of it just has to do with the fact that I guess they really couldn't run away from it because it was.
It was in their face. But just like you said, to give them credit, TSN does a great job of covering hockey, period. And that Kevin Weeks, Anson Carter, Anthony Stewart, among some of their faces, is important. These brothers do a great job on live or their radio podcast or live and analyzing stuff. And we like that. We like the fact that they love hockey and they give us hockey. And nobody asks, well, are they qualified? If they went on a fucking air, of course they're qualified. So shut the fuck up. Hockey has nothing to worry about that. Because they've been growing by leaps and bounds over the last few years. Their product has gotten better. Their off-season product has gotten better. You know, and now, you know, you got a potential dynasty in the Tampa Bay Lightning that have got brothers on the squad and brothers whose names will be on Lord Stanley's Cup. So it's helping them readjust so hockey can transition further and be more of a sport that people like instead of something on the fringe like it was prior to COVID. So they're doing a good job. You got to give them credit.
And you mentioned Anson Carter because it looks like Kevin Weeks is going to be – I had forgotten that Kevin Weeks actually does work for TSN, so we're still going to see a lot of him, especially now with them, you know, basically coexisting with the mouse. But I really hope so much. I hope Anson Carter hasn't fallen off the face of the earth. I do hope somebody.
I like Anson Carter. I think he's one of the best announcers.
Yeah.
I hope he gets a job somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get the feel. Let's put it this way. NBC losing it can be a good thing or a bad thing. I think now. It's obvious that they're going to bump up the coverage because they're going to basically have games on every night, whether it be ESPN, ESPN Plus, or what have you. So in that instance, that's a good thing. I hope they still do the same thing. I want to see what happens when the playoffs come. Because the one thing NBC and their networks did, they made it so that you could see every game.
I'm hoping that stays true.
This year was the best year I've seen in a long time. Look where
the hot spots were go. I mean, you had Tampa Bay. You know, a year or so ago, you had the ding ding Dallas, ding ding Stars. But you also had teams that. They were out of the orbit where you usually found the NHL. Like, okay, you was Chicago. They would have ran it to death. Boston, they'd have ran it to death. You know, even my Flyers. But the long and short of it was now they finally spread it the fuck out like they were supposed to. And Tampa Bay made them do that because, you know, they weren't supposed to be an ideal franchise.
ESPN added 20 years ago, ESPN added this.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday was hockey night, right?
That's right.
When the network Infinity bought it out.
Yep.
It became the East Coast Network.
Yeah. The one good thing that's going on here is basically what they're saying is, at least that's what they're saying, it's basically ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Plus, ABC, Hulu, and probably Disney Plus as well. So, so it looks, let's put it this way. If you go by what they've done over the past few years with the NBA, Major League Baseball, then you should get at least, you know, counting your local network, you should be able to get an extra NHL game every night along the way here.
And if you're willing
to spend a couple extra bucks, you may be able to get, you know, and the good thing also is there's still always the NHL Center Ice package as well. I don't know.
That's true.
Now, see, the only thing is with the Center Ice stuff, they black out the ESPN.
If it's on
the network, they'll black it out on the low, like if the Rangers or say, you know, the Sharks or whatever are on the system, the mothership, they'll block it. It'll be blacked out for Center Ice, which seems to me, even before the pandemic, you shouldn't be blacking out any game. You know,
no kidding.
You shouldn't be blacking out any game. You know, it's not like you know, you guys have got it so good that you can black out, you know, games in certain areas. I know that team on the other side of the Bronx, they put a handful of games on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, you know, with the way the Yankees are playing this year, you don't even want to watch them for free, let alone. Because they're the Yankees, they can get away with it. There's only a handful.
Yeah.
I don't think this is being mean. I don't think there's any NHL team that would be able to pull that off. I would think not even like say the Canadian teams, because those folks have been ingrained to Hockey Night in Canada or TSN.
That's right. That's institution up there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to change that. The problem with the United States is always that the markets that they were looking for to push the game were not the markets they should have been looking for. Now, Tampa Bay forced them to pay attention to them because now they're a two-time cup champion. You know, the Panthers, they had the gimmick with the Rats, you know, that started a few years ago and whatnot. But you've got areas now that they pay attention to. You know, when Subban was traded to Nashville, all of a sudden, Nashville was a hot spot. They had more attention paid to them by hockey than any time ever.
And now they
got to the finals. And now we have, I won't say total balance, but at least a better understanding that American markets have to be taken seriously if hockey is going to grow. We already know it ain't going to be a growth problem in Canada. That's culture. But in the United States, they got to go now. And now they got to pay attention to Tampa Bay, just like the guys from the Charlestown Chiefs wanted to go there, you know, so like all that snatch in FLA, yes, all that hockey down in FLA, you got to pay attention to that now, because the Tampa Bay Lightning have earned that.
I hope, you know, and we saw it early on, whether it was Versus or NBC, whatever, they were still caught up in the original six.
And with a few
exceptions, you know, where it seems like every other night it was Washington versus Pittsburgh for whatever reason. But now I think, you know,
they can't get away with that now.
Well, no, you can't. Now what they may wind up doing is still on the mothership, they'll put, say, like the Rangers, the Bruins, maybe the Kings or what have you. But teams like I wouldn't be surprised if like teams like Vancouver and Vegas, they may not get as many national games per se. I do. It is interesting. They are having a break for the Olympics next year, which is what they didn't do. And I guess the Players Association fought like a banshee for that. So you'll get the break for the the Olympics, just like we've seen this year with the WNBA breaking for the Olympics as well. But, yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. The regular season is going to be easy. I want to see the playoffs because I want to be – because, again, gotten used to seeing every playoff game. We can watch every playoff game. You take that away from – you take that away, they're going to lose some fans. They're definitely going to lose
some
fans.
They lost – I think they lost their lesson.
Also, I think the schedule is the scheduling – the last year it was easy because you had only cover –
Well, matter of fact, guys, the Islanders basically because they're opening a new arena, I guess.
Yeah.
Their first 13 games are on the road.
Yeah.
That's right.
The league
has generated hot spots for itself. Tampa Bay is a hot spot. Vegas is a hot spot because they've been excellent for 4 years since their very existence. And you know they're going to pay a little bit of attention to the Kraken, you know, but these are areas that are not connected with the NHL and the constant success. You know, we expect to be at the Forum in Montreal or in the Saddle Dome in Calgary. You know, they expect this. This is the hockey night in Canada. There should be hockey night in the U.S. Now the whole country can get identified and get some luck as opposed to Chicago here and Pittsburgh there.
Mm-hmm. And, Mike, if the Kraken – I don't know if the Kraken will do like Vegas. I'd be very – I mean, you never want to say never.
Yeah, they can't repeat that again.
It'd be tough. But I'll say this much. If you go by what you saw the other night at the expansion draft where they are literally and figuratively, you know, pushing that team, and surprise, surprise, the Mariners are actually in the mix this year as well, I just put it this way. I think it's just a matter of time before we see the Seattle ding-ding, supersonic ding-ding come around again.
That's right. They know this is about moving cash, y'all. Listen,
would you all be surprised if an NBA team move to Seattle?
I think it's just a matter of time now. I think because see the league, you know, they're still, you know, you mentioned the NBA in Seattle and people will throw raw food at you. They're very, very pissed off about how that all played out. Because, see, again, it wasn't like the Browns. It wasn't like the fans stopped going. The team wanted a new arena. I mean, basically what the A's have been going through is basically what the Sonics went through. They wanted a new arena.
That's right. And people were upset at the fact that that same money that they were talking about, they were going a lot. Decided to go for schools and other things like that that, you know, people might need. And they said, okay, fine, you can't play along with it, then fine, we'll take our team and leave. And that's what the fuck he did. But in 2 years, I can tell you there will be a high-speed rail that will go from Vancouver, Canada, down to Seattle, specifically on the prime move of Seattle being added to the NHL. And because of that, Seattle will be knocking on the door for a franchise. Whether somebody moves or somebody becomes vulnerable, Seattle will jump all over that. They'll give them whatever they want. Matter of fact, they'll overpay.
And they won't. I don't think they'll have to overpay too much because the Kraken's new arena apparently is, you know, it can be a basketball venue. It can be a basketball venue. I don't know how true this is. Apparently, they're toying with the idea of getting the Pac-12 basketball tournament. Put it this way, the Kraken, much like the Golden Knights, are going to be a litmus test for the city of Seattle. I mean, not so much a litmus test, but basically
that's
it's like,
no, you're right.
Okay,
you're right.
Let's just see how they do on and off the field. Because I think by year three they're going to get the NHL All-Star game. I believe
you're
by
probably
the third
right
game,
on that because they normally give a cash incentive to one of the teams in the league. That's what they did when the Houston Texans came in. They promised them and they got a Super Bowl, you know, and that's even more money than an All-Star game. So,
we know that they're
slinking in that direction toward making that happen. But having said all of that, I want to get to something that Reggie brought up a bit ago, and it had to do with the Deion Sanders situation. Now, I actually saw the tape, finally, of what happened with this redneck motherfucker and Coach Sanders. And I will say Coach Sanders out of respect. Now, we know these motherfuckers do things, and we know some people, you know, Deion Sanders has been called Coach Prime on occasion and other stuff like that, and there's been licensed with that, but he's still a coach. And this guy made no bones about disrespecting him from word go. And I had to see it before I could actually say something and have an opinion about it. Now, I may not be the best Deion Sanders fan in the world, but I would have been in Deion's corner if he had walked up to him and smacked the shit out of his ass because he was being deliberately disrespectful. And there's a difference.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
it's one
was.
Thing if somebody
yes,
makes a faux pas and say, oops, okay, my bad. Oh, sorry about that, coach. You know,
he
made a point.
He doubled down on it.
Oh, yes. Yes. He doubled down on it. And, you know, Deion should have said, must be the money, and walked up to him and just beat the shit out of him with his pimp cane. Because I don't like shit like that. These are people who are trying to make themselves the story, business as usual. It could have been Coach or Coach Sanders, and that would have been it. This motherfucker wanted to start some shit. So we got to go to where this story really began. How long has this motherfucker been doing it? Reggie, what do you say to all this
shit?
Yeah.
Where's
Reggie? He's eating a sandwich. Okay. But yes.
This is the thing that bothered me, right?
Mm.
When he said the first time, he said, wait, you gotta become correct here, right?
Yeah.
And the look on his face, I knew he was messing with him, because the look on his face
He was messing with no question. It reminded me of that incident with that punk-ass Jim Rome. Early on, he was calling Everett Chris. And
he's going to beat his ass.
Trying to hit him and stuff like that. And he said, don't say that again. And he says, what if I do? And he said, Chris, I'd have stopped a mud hole in his ass. There wouldn't have been no rustling of tables and shit because he did it on purpose. You know, this was
Mike, I got a question, Mike. Okay, look back in the day of the sponsorship. Ben Day, mm-hmm. Jim Rome never suffered anything from that. But poor Iron
That's right.
No, he got a new show. He got a new show because of that.
That's right.
He came out of here, and that's the sad part about
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
You know, all I'm saying is that these Europeans always seem to do crazy shit and never held accountable. Including that trap mm-hmm. 45
and therein lies the whole thing. And see, that's the point I was trying to make the other night, is because whenever we look at this, if you remember, as I said, it was misreported because they made it sound like he walked out of Media Day. No, he walked away from this asshole, not Media Day. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But don't let facts get in the way of a perfect legitimate lie. But the thing is, we all know that there are decent media folk, and then there are other folks that that tried to
Stephen A. Smith. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll see. And see, it's a different age now because see again,
Justin
that whole, being a journalist and being a personality. And
right, yeah.
To me, this guy is neither. He's a writer. He probably figured, because see again the story, the backstory was that this guy is covered or is covering the SEC as well, and there's a part of him that feels that covering Jackson State is beneath him, and it goes into how the coverage plays. But see, now while there are going to be folks that are going to quote unquote try to stick up for the white journalists, again, no matter how you may feel about Deion, Deion was within his right. He could have just said the hell with Media Day, but he didn't. He just got away from this guy.
And the sad thing about it, T, is that I have seen so many people on social media attack Deion, but yet these are the same ideas we've been saying for the last 20 years about how come the SWAC and the MEAC has dropped themselves. And, oh, by the way, the commissioner of the MEAC after 19 years is retiring. Nevertheless, he lost 14 and a conference in shambles. But, I mean, hey, what the hell?
But see that's the thing. Look, I'm not gonna tell you how you should make your money. How you make your money or whatever, and how I make my money. That's whatever. But see, here's the thing: don't whine and bitch about certain coverage when you're still willing to take scraps from people who don't respect.
You.
Now look, to their credit, they've bumped up the SWAC TV schedule this year. I believe it's up. I think they have like about 17 or 18 games that they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're spreading it out. It's not just on ESPN 57 now. They've got some games on the Mothership. They've got some games on the Deuce. I don't know if they're still going to do these tape delay games, and they show them at 10:30 at night on ESPNU, which to me defeats the whole purpose, because you need, if you believe in your product, you fight for your product, not just hand it out.
Because
here's the thing, and you don't have to be a long-standing follower of the MEAC, SWAC, CIAA, SAC. They had a following, and they still had a following before the Mouse and all these other networks came along.
Where was TV1 and BET doing Media Day? Interesting, we got
inspired. Reg, don't hold your breath waiting for them.
I'm not.
Those days are gone. There's a better chance of BCNC, the Black News Channel, being there. Matter of fact, the Black News Channel actually had a segment on there, on their shows in regards to that. Unfortunately, they dropped the ball too and said that Deion walked out of Media Day instead of.
Of course.
That's the part that bothers me, Mike, more than anything else. The way it was reported, there is definitely a horde mentality within media, but the thing is. You still have to get the story right, and the fact that they tried to make it out like Deion walked away from the entire Media Day, that's just a fucking lie.
That's lazy journalism. That's being lazy.
This is exactly why. And I'll quote the professor: we need to tell our own stories because we saw them deliberately corrupt the story. They took it way from where it should have been. It could have been just cut and dried, according to a press conference situation, blah, blah, blah. Mr. Stannis was called out of his name. He's called Deion or referred to as Deion. And he said, please, coach or Coach Sanders or whatever. And the man refused to comply. So the story should have been the cocksucker who did what he did deliberately, not Dion walking out. And that's the difference between journalism.
And then you got Negro talking about Nick Saban likes to be called Nick. That's the sad part about it. You had Negro sitting up on the whiteboard.
At the very least, he would have been taken off the beat. Now, I've been trying to follow up to see. I haven't had a chance. I'm going to follow up over the weekend to see, because as we mentioned on the show the other night, this particular newspaper, I guess it's the Jackson Clarion Ledger. I want to make sure I'm saying it correctly.
Right.
They've had sort of a running spitting contest with JSU over the years, and I guess the whole thing with Dion has sort of added to it. And look, like I said, there are some folks out there that do great jobs for all media, whether it's black college sports, whether it's the SEC or what have you. But do have folks out here that have an agenda that try to whatever. And again, if you go by the information that's been talked about in regards to this guy, he covers both the SEC and he basically looks down on black college sports. And the reason why that has to be a factor in talking about this is that you've got enough people that are looking down on black college sports or just black people as a whole. We don't we don't need another one of these guys that's going to be beyond patronized.
This is a reminder.
He was on Zoom.
This is a reminder that if there ever was an incentive for Coach Sanders to play or rather to win, it's this. Because we know winning cures everything and shuts everybody the fuck up. If Coach Sanders goes into a game 5-0 as a coach, that motherfucker ain't going to pull that shit. We know this. But if he goes into that same press conference 1-4, they will go after his black ass from prime to prime. And there ain't going to be no question as to whether or not they will get him, because they will try to get him. He's already put a target on his back, knowing that everybody in that conference wants to whoop his ass on the football field. But the respect game, the respect game will be lost forever if Sanders goes 1-4 or is losing early on, because then it will be piling on and there won't be any flags for excessive violence after the play has been whistled dead. No. They will allow it to continue, and the only way he'll be able to shut everybody the fuck up is to win games.
And look, the fact that Dion's got basically Dion has got a Dion place target on himself. Does it make for an interesting story? Absolutely. But see, let's put it this way. Even in the little bit of time, even when they started off, 3-0 and then backtracked, the thing is, it's brought some attention to the SWAC. Now, it's not like the SWAC needs the attention, but any more attention you can get is great. But see, I appreciate the fact that coaches like Maynard and McNair and all those other ones then, because see, like we said, they don't want to beat Jackson State. They want to beat Dion's ass. And see, that's gonna be there. Whether me, you, or whatever is coaching there. The fact that it's Dion coaching there and he's put that target on himself, that's just adding even more. And again, my whole thing has always been that just adds more for the conference. That's gonna add more for the conference. And to a certain extent, the fact that they bumped that they're adding a few more games, and the fact that now that you've got the added thing now of the Florida teams in the SWAC as well, this is put it this way: if you're not looking forward to the HBCU football season this year, then you never will.
That's right.
If you can't get hyped up for what's going on then you were never a fan and you never will be a fan. Now, it's very unfortunate on the other side to see what's happening with the MEAC, because they just finished celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they have basically their pants have been dropped down in public, and that's the sad part about it. I'm anxious to see media day for the MEAC, which I believe is either next week or the week after next, because let's face it, I want to see what Friday. I'll remind myself of that for Friday. But look, while you want to see how the league, look, if someone doesn't go up to coach, he is a former coach, but if someone doesn't go up to Commissioner Thomas and say, with all is the way that things are playing out a factor in your resignation, that's not egging on, that's not being an asshole. The question is there. I am not trying to put all of this on Commissioner Thomas, because the years, unfortunately, how this stuff has played out with the MEAC is some of their own undoing, because instead of dealing with the issue with Hampton and dealing with the issue of these other defections, they sort of played it out in the media and, made it so that these were the bad guys. And instead, it's literally blown back in their face, and now it's affecting their conference, because let's face it, going into this football season, the MEAC is wounded. I hope for their sake that they're able to overcome this, but they're limping. They're limping. They're clearly limping right now, especially at the expense of the SWAC.
Well, there's a time gap situation here to take care of as well, because at the time he did this, we are like less than a month before everybody gets down to business. And we can't have an atmosphere of incredulousness on the part of certain members of the media. Now, we always knew that the situation was symbiotic. They need each other in order for everything to work well.
Absolutely.
How can you have one aspect of this go awry because of some redneck motherfucker who's got a personal agenda? And this is why, if we have to flip it to T.O. and what happened to him in the Hall of Fame, I think there are a lot of players who agreed with Terrell Owens that the media is full of shit, and that there's certain motherfuckers who never played a down of football who wouldn't know what it's like to go out there and slap hats, have the nerve to say there's some moral points on which somebody needs to be considered for the Hall of Fame. You didn't say shit when Paul Hornung was fucking gambling, you cocksuckers. You didn't say shit about players who were beating their partners and whatnot senseless, but okay, they're white, so they made a mistake. Here's a guy who hadn't done anything even close to improprietous, and yet you fucked him over because you didn't like it. That's fucked up.
And just to clarify with Commissioner Thomas, he's finishing out the calendar year. But when you consider the fact that they still have to, they have to have a certain amount of teams within the conference so they can do some of their other sports, that has to be done in a certain amount of time. And everything, dare I say it, because it's so cliche, it's not a good look, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, there really is no perfect timing for this, because he could have waited till after all of this was done and said, okay, now I'm going to resign. But no, he said, hey, I'm finishing out my, I'm going to finish out the year and then be gone from it there. So he's going to be a lame duck in a sense.
A lot of people are saying that the young baby that's in the system is the one that's going to take over. But I've been in the conference. But see, my thing, I've been in the conference. Somebody sitting there 19 years,
I mean, that was too long. Either people didn't want to step up or he wasn't held accountable.
But you know, Reggie, even with all I said, to be fair, for all the bad that has happened, Thomas did some great things for them in those 19 years. I get it. The whole thing of he may have stayed a little too long. But let's put it this way. I'll use the CIAA as an example, and I'm biased when I say that because, you know, I used to work for Winston and everything else. I'm more familiar with that conference. If the new person coming in can be on the ball like Commissioner McWilliams, then the MEAC will come out of this fine. And I truly think they will. It just looks, because the SWAC is literally going to a completely different level now as opposed to what's going on with the MEAC, it looks bad. It looks really, really, really bad. And see, the fact that the whole thing with Hampton's defection and the Florida team's defection and the A&T's defection, it looks really bad because they could have, you know, it could have played out. It could have been a nice, graceful transfer, but it was a Kramer versus Kramer thing, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
And you know, I don't think it's contradictory when I say this. A lot of this is on the MEAC because they allowed this to play out the way it did, instead of, you know, especially with the Hampton thing, because they literally tried to fuck Hampton at the drive-thru. And it did not play out the way they thought it would.
So, gentlemen, is this a matter of laziness, incompetence, or something else that caused this shit to happen in the MEAC?
In the words of Chris Rock, all of the above.
Okay.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because leaving speaks more because they were an original. But the fact that Hampton has been one of the most successful over the years, and again, whether you like Mr. Harvey or not, the guy, he's helped Hampton carve out their own niche, and that's why they were able to make the transition over from the Big South pretty successfully. You know, hey, look, all you got to do is look at what happened with FAMU in their ill-fated move, and Winston in their ill-fated move, and they did not, you know, end of the day, they did not do what had to be done. Say what you want about Harvey and Hampton, when they made the move, it was perfect, and there hasn't been any looking back at all.
That's true. All right, Reggie, so how does all this shake out to you? Are we going to be able to take the MEAC seriously this year?
You're going to be able to take them serious because they will have enough team to qualify for the tournament. A lot of people are going to North State because of parent coach from Southern. They're taking on the Trell Scott job. And I tell you what, Norfolk, we don't know where they got the money from, but they're definitely serious about putting football back in. So, well, I'm looking at two things. Number one, recruiting in the 757 to 804. If Norfolk can put the big boy pants on, got to get some championships, they can put a dent in that area, which will hurt University of Virginia, Virginia Tech, and ODU.
Coach Odom ain't no joke. Let's be clear.
He's coming in there serious. Absolutely.
You could make the argument with him arguably being the best coach in the HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about both X's and O's and recruits. Guy knows his X's and O's. Because Southern's been in the mix for the longest time since he's been there. And he was a guy that, had to pay his dues, so to speak. But once he got that first head coaching job, he hasn't backslid at all. Now there are going to be some people that would say, why would you leave Southern to go to Norfolk State? Well, I think this way. like Reggie said, if everything plays out the way it should with what he's done historically, people are going to be like, whoa, this is something that, you know, I just hope that Norfolk State Compliance Office
don't screw up.
Because whenever a move like this happens, you become, you know, it could be sort of a SMU type thing where they're gonna scrutinize you a little bit worse, a little bit harder.
This ain't gonna be on the head.
Yeah.
This ain't gonna be up and down trying to see what's going on. And I tell you one thing: if Coach Odom has a chance to go to that Celebration Bowl, you know he's licking his chops. He would love to stick it to the SWAC.
Oh man, look. If within, say, the next 2 years, the Celebration Bowl is Norfolk State.
Well, let me ask this, because for people that are not
anything from the SWAC is going to be good for Norfolk State. Anything.
Reggie?
Oh, absolutely.
Reggie, I have to ask, for everybody who doesn't or isn't aware of the area, how many schools are left where the MEAC could ask them, would they consider joining their conference?
And HBCUs, none, because Virginia State don't have the revenue to do it. That's number one. Number two, Bowie State don't have the revenue to do it. That's number two. Number three, they would have to go to the European schools and ask them to join. And a lot of European schools are trying to come in. And believe it or not, you got some teams in Texas that's trying to raid the SWAC and try to pull some of the teams out of the Black Conference. They're going to start to attack the SWAC and now try to diminish them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, you know, Mike, it's funny, you know, now we talked the other night about, OU in Texas, you know, basically working on a backdoor deal with the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, some of those Big 12, some of those remaining schools from the Big 12 are actually talking to the Pac-12.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. So here we go. Mm-hmm. So here we go again. It's like it's like 15, 20 years ago when we were playing the Hollywood Squares with these schools trying to make the money deal. Now I have no idea which school is considered Paul Lynn, but I have a few ideas.
Yeah, how about
But you know what? I'm being Texas Southern down in Texas, and don't be surprised if they ain't looking at Prairie View or Alcorn.
Sure. If not, just their tradition alone should get them a look-see.
We got to give this back to our resident Negro Dominus. Gary knows great, because Gary was saying years ago that there would be X number of super conferences. And obviously, if Texas and Oklahoma worm their way into the SEC and others, there will be an arms race. And we will have four major conferences that will have at least 14 to 16 members each, which would encompass the entire field of the NCAA tourney basketball. But in football, put them in position for even more. Theoretically, with 12 teams, 5 go to the SEC, 3 go to the PAC, whatever, 3 go to the Big 12 or Big 10, whatever the big it is. And the next thing you know, no more teams, no at-larges, none of that shit going on. You got to make money to get in there. And, of course, you got to win games. And the factor for winning and losing is now enormous. It's beyond critical. If some guy fucking fumbles on the winning drive and causes them to miss out on possibly $10 to $12 million just to get into the tournament, that kid will be roasted.
Mike, the difference between getting into the national championship playoff or going to the quote-unquote Gator Bowl. Look, the bowls will still survive, but it may be a Gloria Gaynor existence as opposed to, like, whatever happened to so-and-so? Whatever happened to so-and-so?
Yeah.
Such and such. We know
the bowls will be there. I mean, there were so many bowls that teams with losing records actually played in them, you know,
yeah.
which is something that's not supposed to happen if you're bowl eligible, as they say. But
yeah.
we saw at least two games where teams with losing records got into bowl games and played. Now, and may not have nothing to do with whether they could travel well or they have a lot of people following them all over that, but the bottom line was they got in. So we're going to see several levels of bowl games. We're going to see the 250,000 and 750,000 bowls. You know, they'll go to the low-level guys, and then there'll be a huge fucking swing to the 5 million-plus bowl games that will even be seasoning for the tournament games. So the tournament games will probably blow up to, say, 20 million each. So you got 12 teams guaranteed at least 20 million, and of course the TV money that goes with it, playing against each other. And if it turns out to be another version of the SEC Invitational, so be it. But this is the direction that they're going, and Gary talked about this years ago. We got to give them credit for that.
But you know what, Mike? The one thing that the one question that hasn't been asked, you know, I'm going to go into my Kevin Costner thing. Ask the question. Why would Texas give up that cachet, or not so much give up, but why would they sort of? I mean, what is the future of the Longhorn Network here now? Because let's be honest now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The mouse owns both of them. Now,
true.
Does this wind up being more money for them as a whole? Or
does
Texas
like a power play somewhere?
Well, see, I'm just trying to think, because, see, the SEC, it's all about, you know, granted, there's the haves and the have-nots, and then there's Vanderbilt.
Don't forget Notre Dame.
Well, no. Let's just stick with SEC, because see, they've already shown you how they're gonna do it. They've already shown you.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's already like it's a done deal. They've already shown you.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna keep the whole East West thing. But see, the SEC, their mentality is like the NFL. Are, you know, 12 fiefdoms amongst themselves. Now
true.
Texas, basically, it says. No, we, because see, put it this way. The SEC has fuck you money. But Texas is
yep.
saying, we have fuck you money.
That's true.
So my question is, why are they willing to sort of take what appears to be a step down for the good of a conference?
Mm-hmm.
Now there must be this way. We all know about the goos and the gobs and the gobs and the goos of college
True.
Sports money.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out why is Texas appearing to take less goo gobs and green goblins and whatever have you here
mm-hmm.
to join the SEC. Unless they're being given a separate deal. Because, see, look, if I'm, just for shits and giggles, if I'm
mm-hmm.
Alabama, I'm looking at Texas like, what you doing here?
Exactly. Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, if we looked at the conferences, and we talk about the SEC all the time, and we know that the Vanderbilts and the Mississippis and Mississippi States live off their scraps. But what scraps are we talking about? If you've got five teams in the conference already in, and you've got four or five others who are in lesser bowl games, and you know that regardless of what happens, if it is a state champion, national champion from the SEC, just look at what Vanderbilt, Mississippi and Mississippi State would make. The weak sisters would get a cut of a
sure.
dollar. That's made. So
their cut could actually pay for a bunch of HBCU conferences.
A bunch? You ain't kidding. And that's the key here. Vanderbilt, Mississippi, and Mississippi State are going to get goo gobs of kickback from the other successful teams. I would think just on kickback alone, if five SEC teams make this mythical playoff, and that's a mythical playoff, you got to figure Vanderbilt, Mississippi, and Mississippi State will be making at least $5 million just off the change. Because, again, when one conference team makes it, everybody gets a piece.
The ultimate trickle down theory.
This is what Reagan was talking about. There you go again, talking about my money. Yes, this is what we were talking about, Ron. You motherfucker, you. That's right. So they all make money. And nobody will give a rat's ass as to what Alabama or Auburn or any of these other motherfuckers will do. Because they're all getting paid.
Yeah, this is definitely a to-be-continued thing because it's obvious that there's going to be a boomerang effect if and when this whole thing with Texas and Oklahoma, put it this way, so much for the fact that Nebraska and Oklahoma may get together again on the football field, because I think that, you know, I think that one trick pony is definitely dead now. Although traditionally it does seem weird that those two teams don't play each other anymore, because that was not just a staple for the Big Eight. Just a staple on national level.
But if I can ask, doesn't it disturb you both that BET nor TV1 is even thinking big picture about getting at least a piece of this football money?
Well, they already been bought out, though. They already been bought out.
Yeah, exactly. This is not the, let's be honest, this is not the same BET that did black college football back in the day.
True. Thank you.
And I'm still mad, but I understand my madness, if that makes any sense, because...
Because look,
TV1... TV One has never made those inroads from day one, they've been consistent. BET is the one that we all have a problem with because they have a history,
right?
Before, you know, there's pre Viacom, post Viacom, and never the twain has met, and therein lies the problem. Now, I would think that with some of, let's put it this way. I would think with places like, say, the Griot, Black is Beautiful, a lot of these online entities.
Expire. Don't forget Expire.
Expire. And to their credit, Expire did have games on for a while. So it's not that it's not in them. They're, you know, I think, and I hate to be, I hate to give up on anyone. I've given up on BET. I can't remember the last time I actually went home and said, let me turn on BET. I don't think I've said those words in over a decade and maybe even longer. And so it would be, let's put it this way. Would I like to see it happen? Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's what I'd like to see happen and what I know is going to happen. And unfortunately, that, you know, the days of look, I would just love to see BET bring back the old Oscar Micheaux movies from back in the day.
Hello. Yep.
You know, and then sort of work their way back into that's the thing. They don't have any news, or they don't have a new. Please wait.
Unfortunately, BET got infiltrated by ESPN. Jay Walker and the young lady that does it, the people who was the prime ones, they pretty gave them promotion and said, hey, look, guys,
you're
in charge of covering the game.
But see, here's the thing, Reg. Did they get infiltrated or did they just let them go?
You know, that's why I go back again when people jumping on Dion about self-promotion, and when we do have talent, we don't take care of it. And I guarantee you, when Deion leaves Jackson State and everything, there's going to be a lot of people saying, damn, I wish we had somebody. I mean, Doug Williams tried. And look how they railroaded him out of Grambling.
Rich, remember when he first got hired, what was the first thing I asked? What was my first question? Did he go to them,
or did
they
come
go
to him?
That question is still out there, even after the – and it's only been a year. That, to me, I
was told that they went to him.
I don't know. See, okay, my thing is, okay, give me an example. If you can give me an example, I'll roll with it. Because, see, my thing now is if I knew who went to who first, then how the way this is playing out would make more sense. See, it's still, let's put it this way. He's bringing in a hell of a lot of recruits. He's doing the JC thing, which all these schools do anyway. And he came in saying, y'all need to – see, here's what's Deion's biggest problem. He is, I think – this is just me talking.
Yeah.
Deion had the nerve to call these folks out basically day one saying, y'all are still in the Chitlin circuit in a sense.
He told the truth.
And see, there's some people, you know, not to get Jack Nicholson's lawyers on me, but there are some people that can handle the truth, and then there's
some folks
that can't.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's the thing. Truth be told, Deion was saying what they've been saying for years. But instead of embracing Deion with what he's saying, they pulled the Reggie. How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you come in the first year and tell us our shit?
Before we go further, we got Gary back. Gary, to highlight what's going to be on the code at 4 o'clock. Big G, what's happening?
The Oakland Alameda Gary Garcia.
The whole park is going to be on the show?
Gary got mad.
You're going to need more than two hours, I think.
You got that right.
Just for them to tune in.
Good Lord.
Thank you. The Olympics game started Friday night. And also, on Sunday, on the Music Box, you know, we will have Chicago's own satellites.
Oh, Lord. We'll get some drums dropping in,
boy. Oh,
have you seen him?
Mike, I think for the first time, Gary's show may have to have a parental guidance sticker.
Oh,
Lord.
You got that right.
Well, that sounds like good stuff. So the fate of the Oakland County Coliseum or the Alameda County Coliseum. At the top of the hour on the grade of a cold Sunday, I'm begging
that
shine like
funny.
I ain't seen her doing it here.
Oh, get right now.
Doesn't that sound like something that should be on the menu? I'll have the Oakland Alameda Cali Coliseum special for the
year. Yes, that's right.
Is that working without them, sir? Oh, wait.
Is that working without them, sir? Yeah, I'll have it al fresco. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, really.
Well, all right, gentlemen, I'm so damn jealous. As we say these things, you know, we got a lot of situations here that have put us in a state of flux. Reggie, give us some final thoughts, please.
Please play for our beautiful queen that played on 227, Maya Gibbs. She fainted this past week at an event for her Walk of Fame star. The poor queen, 90 years old, and they got out there in that heat. I mean, come on, guys. Use some common sense. Her family members should have been on top of it. You know the poor woman, 90 years old, and the heat storm come up. Somebody needs to be the adult in the room and start looking out for our elders. Just food for thought.
Definitely good food for thought. T-Mac, what you say?
I'll just go back to what I was saying before. If there's never a time to be ready to look forward to the HBCU football season, it's this year. I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, even with the, you know, with the spring ball, whatever, that gave us a nice little taste. Now that we know that, you know, barring a surge, God forbid, we're gonna get we're gonna get those football Saturdays and some Thursdays for some football, and it's not that far away, guys. You know, we've already had two media days this week with the CIAA and the SWAC, and then you're gonna have the MEAC, and I guess the FIAC will be won't be coming around then too soon, but.
I'm looking forward to the season.
Football is literally just around the corner.
I'm looking forward to the season, and I'm actually rooting for Coach Prime. I want Coach Sanders to do well, because if he does, it benefits everybody. There may have been a hint of selfishness to his individual career, and rightfully so. He's looking out for him and exposed to it, but. In trying to deal with the future of HBCUs, they need to go to any means necessary mode. I think Coach Sanders has been willing to take a couple of shots if it allows him to get one good shot in. So I'm hoping that Jackson State does very well. And on the flip side of that, I have to throw this in the pot, because every time these motherfuckers say something about January 6th and what happened, it reminds me of that fucking movie Animal House. I hate that movie because it is an hour whatever plus of white privilege. Here are these assholes, they storm the Capitol, they get arrested, and they're like, I'm going to do 18 months? I can't do that. I'm white. I have to come up with a white excuse because I'm falling back on my whiteness. Now, that was just the first one that came in, and that was 18 months. For some of the shit these motherfuckers did, they should be doing hard time. Shit.
Absolutely.
If Michael Vick did 2 years for pit bulls, these motherfuckers need to do at least a nickel. 5 years for their bullshit. For the most important reason of all, to make sure it don't happen again. And they're sitting there on their asses lying and talking all kinds of shit because they know they don't have the stomach for it, or they'll talk all that stop the steal and everything else that goes with it. But what you really was avoiding here was a frat boy coup. The frat boys were trying to take over the fucking country because they really thought they could. Well, if something goes wrong, we'll just fall back on our whiteness. You know, we'll make any kind of excuse we can make. Every one of these low-life afterbirth motherfuckers should have gone to fuck to jail and did hard fucking time. You wouldn't have had to worry about a fucking community or some sort of conference or whatever, or committee. Solve all that shit.
You watch. If we're all still here 20, 30 years down the road, they're going to try to depict these assholes as folks that were part of the Boston Tea Party or the...
They're going to call them rebels. They're going to call them Confederates.
They'll do all of that shit. Said they may even call a couple of them martyrs, but that's the kind of twisted shit that happens with white supremacy. You know, fuck you. Fuck all you frat boy motherfuckers. If they had been given the court and given sentence, I just did a pig meat marking on you, motherfuckers. Fuck that shit. Somebody call my mama. Shit.
Unreal.
top of the hour. Y'all know it's Grand, the Green at the Coast, 646-727-3649. Sunday, the Music Box. Y'all will be out there with the begging-ass Shy Lights. We will follow up with our normal Sunday Music Therapy Mind Stream. Y'all keep it where it is. Follow us here at the Tree, at the Cove, and everywhere else without the Brother Man Network. Go safe, stay safe, and be safe. Good afternoon.